You started out with Toll during the RTC.
I did.
Uh-huh.
I did.
What was your first assignment on that?
Well, I've told the story. I interviewed with Bob on my 30th birthday, March 1, 1990. And Bob likes to hire lawyers that really appreciate and enjoy the legal education, but didn't necessarily have the same appreciation or love of the practice.
Mm-hmm.
Not to come in here and be lawyers, but to come in here and be business people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I fell in that category. And historically, we had bought land from the farmers. We were Philadelphia, New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
home builder, and that's what was going on. Bob was ahead of the curve then, as he usually is, which was to say, I need a different land acquisition team that can go into boardrooms of banks
mm-hmm.
and talk to insurance companies and the institutions that own this bad real estate and talk their talk and buy ground or
mm-hmm.
buy notes. So I practiced law for 3 years. You know, I owned a couple of suits. I could be presentable in a boardroom of a local bank.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob sat me down at a desk and said, here's a book of all the banks in the country, A through Z.
Mm-hmm.
Just start dialing for dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally started with the A's in the book and just started calling banks. And, of course, for the first couple of weeks, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know how to get to the right people. But then you start learning the talk, and you know, you ask for the CEO's office because the CEO's assistants will always get you to the right department.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the CEO may not talk to you, but you learn about what an REO department is. I didn't even know what REO meant when I started here.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't a real estate lawyer. And it just evolved. And we had very little competition from the other national builders because we were doing this in the East.
Mm-hmm.
And with the exception of Hovnanian, the other builders came out of either Texas, California, or the South.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there really weren't builders that were born and raised here.
Hmm.
So they, you know, the Lennars and the Pulteys and the Hortons, they hadn't found Philadelphia, New Jersey yet.
Uh-huh.
There was no Wall Street money chasing deals.
Mm-hmm.
So shooting fish in a barrel. We bought a whole bunch of real estate in the early to mid-90s through banks and through the RTC.
Mm-hmm.
We were very well capitalized for an amount of, you know, cash on hand, but relatively speaking, we had this dry powder that we had saved
mm-hmm.
because this company's always grown through recessions because we've always managed the balance sheet very conservatively, set ourselves up with a whole bunch of cash to then take advantage of the opportunities. That's what's going on now, and it was definitely
mm-hmm.
going on in the early 90s.
There are going to be a limited number of people that are going to want to buy your classic traditional luxury homes, but there's also a shrinking universe of competition, so you guys can have more market share in that area, too.
Come on the road with us. That's it. We compete against a local builder.
Uh-huh.
It's not to say we never run up against Pulte, Horton, Lennar, et cetera, but generally we compete against the local builder.
Mm-hmm.
Our price point is more than twice the other guys.
Right.
That local builder is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia, great example. We competed against about 10 builders, local builders here.
Mm-hmm.
I think three are left.
Mm.
So not only does that help us gain market share because we have more stores open than everyone else, but
mm-hmm.
it helps us in land buying because there's less competition.
Yeah. I know all the small guys are like saying it's not fair. They can't get any money. They can't compete with you guys. And you guys are, you know, getting all the tax breaks, getting all the help from Washington. And, yeah, able to gobble up their market share.
Well, the tax credit applied to everybody.
I guess that's true, yeah.
But mm-hmm. even before that, a lot of the tax things that they did had revenue restrictions that over a certain dollar amount of revenues, it didn't apply to that company. They were really based off of trying to affect those lower revenue companies. We couldn't take advantage of those
certain
things.
Of them.
Mm-hmm.
They could.
But they just weren't capitalized the way the publics were.
Right, they had other capital.
They couldn't survive a 5-year downturn.
And they couldn't get bank credit. I mean, that was the thing that really...
Most of the hardest hit banks in this industry are the local regional banks that fed those types of operations, not the, you know... Yes, they got loans from Wachovia and Bank of America, but for the most part, they were getting their financing through the local banks. Mm-hmm. And those banks are not in the industry anymore.
Or they're trying to get out of it.
They're trying to save themselves,
let alone issue new money to that type of operation.
Yeah. I was looking at ADC loans a couple of weeks ago just to see if there's any sign that they're reviving, and now they're all trying to reduce. There were like 3 banks that had increases, and it turned out they were all like, well, we got this FDIC bank that we absorbed, and that's how come our portfolio of those loans. But is that a big source of you guys' land or notes or are the banks? Is there any sign you're seeing that the banks are being more open to selling stuff? Because the sort of stuff that I had heard previously was like, every time we bid, it's too low for them. They're not realistic about the prices that they're asking for them. Are they realistic about the prices that they're asking and trying to, you know, reduce their inventory of these loans?
In some cases, the banks are definitely not feeling the pressure from regulators that they felt in the mid-90s when they were pretty much told
to get rid of it.
And so the stronger banks seem to be willing to wait and not fire sale. But it's just, you know, every deal is different. We're seeing more deal flow now than we saw 6 months ago or a year ago. So it appears the banks are a little more interested in moving some of this stuff off their books. But I wouldn't say it's a dramatic change.
Sort of bringing back to what you were talking about, the green initiative, it seems like a lot of builders are building smaller homes. You're saying your luxury homes are not as big of a share of your pie. And were you saying that...
Well, luxury still is, but the traditional suburban...
Single family.
You know, we can still consider our active adult luxury.
Okay.
We're a luxury active adult provider. Or the condos we build in Hoboken are luxury.
Okay.
But the traditional...
Single family, yeah.
Move up...
McMansion type thing.
Yeah.
But is there going to be, as, you know, this new age of sort of frugality, the same way that people were much more conscious about spending who were raised during the Depression, people that come out of this era now, are you concerned that there might be reluctance to, you know, buy the McMansion because it's sort of too ostentatious or something like that? And there's also, it burns a lot of energy to have these big McMansions. The McMansion backlash, is that an issue?
We don't think so. Every recession that this company has been through since 67, we heard the same thing. It's because we're going through a recession. People are scared. People don't have disposable income. But when that changes... We're pretty confident, based on history, they're going to be right back at it. That doesn't mean we don't have to offer value, and it doesn't mean we don't have to be very green, and it doesn't mean that we have to have diversity of product because, for example, right now, and I think it's a long-term trend, a lot of people want to live in cities. Or a lot of people want maintenance-free.
Yeah.
So I think we're dealing with that, but the demand for the suburban home on the 1 acre of land in the best school district, that's the American dream for most people. It still is. You know, when the kids get to be school age, they get out of the cities, they get to the burbs, they're on the soccer fields, you know, they join the PTA, they've got the 1 acre. I mean, that's not going away.